If we could get settled down, it would be nice so we can try to catch up, make up some time here. I trust everyone had a wonderful lunch. I thought that was an excellent arrangement up there. And now we're all ready to take our nap this afternoon, right? All right. Unfortunately, you know, Krista Papak could not make it, so you're unfortunately stuck with the image of me instead. But I will try to do my best. This afternoon's session is going to be on the Registrar of Business and some of the strategies in this extremely competitive environment. So I would like to start with, we're going to try to stick to the schedule, so I'm expecting approximately 10 minutes per speaker. We're going to start with Igor Chizar from Afro Registrar, who's going to talk to us about automation and the importance of automation to the success of a registrar, and I'll also be listening to this very attentively. So with that, Igor, do you mind?
Good afternoon, all. My name is Igor Chiza, and I'm a managing director of AfriRegistrar. And we have been, we've been an accredited registrar, an ICANN accredited registrar since 2007. But we started being really active since 2010. But I myself have been in business for domain name since 2006. Next slide. Okay, I'm going first to start talking about the barriers to a registrar system automation in Africa. Myself, I've identified two barriers, main barriers. There is lack of online payment system options, and lack of local technical human resources specialized domain name business, especially. Okay, why should registrars need to automate the systems? First of all, it's facilitate the real time domain name registration process. And from there, they will have a lot of transactions, so they need to manage them well. So the automation will help them with managing all the transactions they are getting on their system, and then it can also increase the growth of the domain name registrations. So examples of automated systems available for registrars, this is just a few examples. So there is WHMCS, which is an off-the-shelf system. There is Parallels, same stuff. There is Logic Boxes. Actually, they also offer the technical support, and they also help the registrars who wish to get accreditation. So they are kind of special. There is a Client Exec, which actually kind of similar to WHMCS. Problem of an automated registrar system, especially the off-shelf or outsourcing systems. There is one increase. Once you are, you have an automated system, you get a lot of attacks from hackers, and there is no access to the source code or from the off-the-shelf systems in case of your system vulnerability. So what are the possible solutions? There is one IP restriction. IP restriction you give it to your customers so that they can put an IP range which they'll be using to log into the client in the client system. You know, there is a strong passwords, SSL, you know, to encrypt information sent by clients from your registrar system. There's also backup, offline backup servers, so that just in case the hackers manages to put your system offline, so that you don't go offline completely. So you have some servers which are offline, which you can put online as soon as you have as soon as you are attacked. So implementation of IDS intrusion detection system, which actually every time there is an intrusion, suspicious IPs, they are blacklisted, and you are being sent an email automatically of those intrusions. So, or, you know, investing in developing your own system, which as a free register we are doing right now. We are investing in, we are developing our own system, which we can sell to, or like we can sell or can help registrars or resellers who are not yet online from our African perspective. That's actually what we are trying to develop. That's a home page which, you know, from the admin panel. Next. Thank you.
Thank you, Cesar. I'd like to ask if there are any questions. Please come up. And I understand we do have translation at this point. So speaking in French or what have you, I think would be appropriate here. I found your presentation very, very helpful, and in particular, while I'm waiting for any other questions, the part that you covered with the various access systems, do you ever consider two-factor authentication systems?
Sorry?
Do you consider two-factor authentication systems ever?
Two-factor.
Yes, like a little fob with an unchanging number or password.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered something like that?
Yeah, we have.
Do we have any questions for Igor? Yes, please. Alan, please identify yourself.
Yes, Ale Aina, from Africa. So, in the presentation, you said that one of the problems with the automated registrar things is the attacks from hackers. So, can you elaborate a little bit for me, because
sorry,
I didn't get that part very well.
Sorry?
You mentioned that one of the problems with the automated registrar system is the attack from hackers.
Mm-hmm.
So can you elaborate a little bit, because I didn't get that part well.
Yeah, okay. Normally, what I've noticed is now registrars are actually being subject of attacks from hackers to actually change the name servers. So if your system is automated, connected to a registry via EPP, and a hacker manages to hack you and change a name server, so that means that the domain name or the domain names which are under your management will be affected, which you know, has happened to us before, and so that's why we try bringing this kind of ideas system into it. Yeah.
Thank you, Cesar. Next up is Gideon Rope from .Connect Africa. Gideon, if you please.
Good afternoon. I'll not introduce myself further, but say I'm happy to be here today. I will talk from a web designer's or a user point of view, because most of the time we like to discuss and talk about the tech and the backends, and we forget that the user, the experience of the user. So I will tackle this from a user's experience as a former web designer and a coder. Yeah, so that is a bit about the African internet statistics. It's true, Africa is one of the continents that is really picking up in terms of internet technology, and that's where we are trying to create more solutions that will enable high content outbound from this continent. That is still part of the statistics. By Verizon, sometime, this is a report from 2012, the 250 million names that are being registered, so we need to increase that in our continent. That is still part of the statistics. You know, Africa was like the lowest in terms of new GTLD applications, and I hope we'll get to improve with time. Next. So, in Africa currently, most of the business in DNS is dominated by the CCTLDs, and yeah, that's some of the registrations that have happened for the top level domains, the ones that are currently under evaluation in the new GTLD program. So now we are here. The registered automation and the tools that will enable a successful registry. The name search tools, the registration of names, and the domain names portfolio. That is a few of what a person would do if to create a successful, you know, registry. So, with the name search tools, or the name search engine, there is a need for creation of an intuitive and a fast composite registry tool that will enable the users, because I said I'm talking from the user's point of view, to find domain names. Currently, well, if someone would want to search, some have a problem in even thinking or maybe getting very good names that can go higher in the rank when you go for the Google search, the search engine optimization. So a good and an intuitive tool that will enable the user to get a good name that they can use online, maybe for a blog or for their company. And then also with that, we also have the need for creation of a domain name generator that someone can use if they have no ideas. Mostly someone wants to create a blog, someone wants to do maybe to get a good name for their company, and they can't think up a good name because when they search there is a lot of it's very few good names. So this one will help them to reduce hours and brainstorming sessions when looking for a good name. Next. Then the next thing is the domain registration tools. From a web designer's point of view, is most of the CCTLDs, they give up the registrant, the person who wants to get a domain name, a lot of hard work trying to get their name online, maybe at .co.ke. So there is a need for, maybe even if it's developing an in-house registration tool that will help that person to look for a name, search, pay for it immediately, and in a few hours, maybe an hour or two, they'll have their name, and they'll be able to set up their website and stuff. So other, then again, with the same thing, with the registration is the mode of payment. We know that currently, mobile is becoming the in thing, and it's the main or the highest growing, maybe you can call it a tool for accessing the web, the internet. So in Kenya, where I come from, we have M-Pesa, and such mobile payment systems could be used in paying for the name that you have registered. And also, if it's possible, I know some have tried, you can register for a domain via the social media, which is, again, another mode where most people spend their time. This is the last one for the owner of the domain names now, the domain names portfolio manager. This may be creating an account where a user can be able to manage their own domains in a secure and automated way. And also, the second thing is the restore and reassign service, where once a user has bought a domain name, and most would forget about it, and until it's offline because they have not renewed it, they have not paid the money at the end of every year, maybe. So the CCTLDs and the registrars, the resellers, maybe would need to create a service, you know, a better service, especially here with the CCTLDs, where the users can be reminded of the time when their domain is about to expire, maybe via an SMS or via emails, which are mainly what are being used most of the time, to alert them before it goes offline. So such services will enable the users to be able to enjoy the services, you know, from a user's point of view, without being stressed with paying fees because they were late and they were deregistered. So some of the augmented registries, security tools. He talked about security, he didn't talk much about that, and that is mostly a challenge that is coming to the internet users and especially the service providers. A lot of security problems with hackings and intrusions. So there is need for a higher or a greater level of safety for the registrants, for the domain sellers, and also the hosts to mitigate hijacking. And like you said, someone would want to change the name servers so that they can direct your traffic elsewhere. And also, to supplement, you can add, you know, such registry security tools to supplement your existing protections within your organization. And also, increasing the security in the communications chain between the registrar and the end user. So, other tools or other issues that we could talk about is managing communication, which is mostly a failure between the registrars and the resellers and the users. As I talked about, I think I've talked about this, the updates for the renewal messages, maybe at the end of every year, maybe every 2 years, depending on how the user has registered their names. Also, because you are talking about registry strategies for a domain name growth, registrar business strategies in a competitive environment, we want to see how we can increase the number of registrations for the CCTLDs and communications, and also the registrars can be able to do some, you know, in-house internet profiling where they provide information like, what can I call that? some intel which the users can, or the registrants can use to get the best names and the best services. So another thing would be the zone file information. This is a bit tech. Providing interactive maps for the second level domain names. I think I'll stop there. My time is off. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gideon. That was a wealth of information. And a lot of lessons that we're grateful that you were willing to share with us. I particularly like the section on the brainstorming section where you actually have something that suggests names as well. With that, we have time for a few questions, and I'm sure we have for Gideon. Does anyone have any questions? Please come up to the mic.
Dean York, I was just going to say I agree with you entirely. I think that the focus around the user experience for the users is critical, because it's certainly one of the things when we've been looking at talking to people about how to implement DNSSEC, which is just a small part of what you're talking about here. You know, the user experience of being able to do that was frustrating for so many users, just the whole thing. So I think you're on the right track with trying to automate that.
Thank you very much, Gideon. So our next speaker needs no introduction, and therefore I am going to provide a little bit of an introduction. Above and beyond domain name registrations, he's going to talk about something higher level. Mr. Diop is a former ICANN board member, CEO of KWIL.com, and that's an ICANN accredited registrar. He's chairman of the Accelerated Strategy Growth ICT Cluster in Senegal. He's a UN consultant. The list goes on. World Bank consultant. President of Senegalese SITSA and WITSA, and the permanent secretary of ISOC Senegal. With that, the man who needs no introduction, Mr. Diop, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, and hopefully so we get the translation available. So the presentation is in French. So no problem. The slide will be in French, so maybe I'm going to speak in English. We got a very exciting session, that one talking about this registrar business. When we talk about the DNS industry, we know that numbers matters. We have some challenges that are specific to our continent. We have three different agenda: the technological agenda, the technical agenda, the economic agenda, and the low impact on our society. We want to talk a little bit about the registrar business and the incubator program, because we take some commitment regarding the development of to get more registrar in the African continent. If you look at the numbers, 250 million domain names, 1% less in Africa, 6 registrars for the whole continent, like 0.6% of the whole registrar worldwide. CCTLD is 54, we see the numbers. Content, we see a very few, 1% of the total content for the year. So what are we looking for? I think that the question is, we ask us to think about what above and beyond the domain name registration. I think that the challenge is not only to register domain name. Why domain name is so weak? No, come before. I did not slide up. I was just here. No, it's okay. The challenge is Africa deserves to get more than less than 2 million domain names. So I think that we need to challenge ourselves to fix new objective for that continent. If we don't say where we want to go, it's going to be very difficult to find a global strategy that we're going to develop. Our goal is to make Africa have more participation in that DNS industry worldwide. We want African users to get their website, their content, to be able to sleep the night when they buy a domain name and not wake up the next day and see that this domain name have been hijacked or disappeared. So I'm not going to follow this, you know, this presentation because the time is very short. I'm just trying to hit some of the things that really need to be addressed during that presentation. We want more registration. We want more entrepreneurs. We get many young people who listen to us and say, what your domain name industry can offer to us. We are young entrepreneurs, we are lawyers, we are economists. Do you think that this digital economy can bring jobs and revenue to young African leaders and African countries? These are the questions we need to address. And the answer is yes, but how? And some people gonna tell us, well, we don't need quality in Africa. Quality is to have a good and trusty relationship. The registrar business is a trusty relation. We all trust the CCTLD to manage for our country, the CCTLD. We trust you, we give you legitimacy, and you manage it for us. It's not your property. It's the same thing for the registrar business. We ask people who want to do business in the DNS industry to follow rules, to comply with standards, to be able to deliver to African continent high-level quality services. And one day somebody wake up and say, okay, we don't have many, so why don't we define a low-level registration service for African? Do you think that our continent deserves that? No. I say no because African people deserve to have the same level of service than any other user worldwide. Don't ask us to define low-level service for African people. I totally disagree with that. Let's talk about how we're going to manage to get more high-level professional who will be able to serve the African continent users, corporate government in a very highly qualified and professional way. Don't ask us to define a reseller who has no contractual binding to anybody to start serving people who don't trust the internet. African people don't trust the internet because we did not show them the professional standard that can give them more reliance in our system. Do you think that a company who just put everything on the web and wake up one day, no operation the next day because electricity was not there, because the registry did not open the doors? I mean, we need to professionalize our businesses, and we need to get more professionals involved. We need to show them the money. If people see the money running in that business, they will invest. Don't ask them to invest if they don't see, the outcome from that business. And our challenge is to help investors who are looking at the DNS as something where they can put money and get something out of it. This happened to CC, this happened to GTLD, this happened to everybody. If a business wants to sustain, it has to be sustainable. If your business did not get outcome, did not get revenue, you're going to die. And this is exactly the same rule that happened in any other business. So if we talk about how we're going to help young people find their ways to become actors in the DNS industry, we got some of our friends, some people who are willing to invest. We got ICANN who look at carefully about what we are talking because what? It's a win-win situation. ICANN exists because of their constituency. If the constituency are weak, I can become weak. And the DNS industry in Africa is weak. And if I can want to remain strong and better serve the continent, they have to work closely to make their constituency stronger, more reliable, more professional, and better serve the community. This is the challenges. Don't try to look at things elsewhere. No. We want to have more registrars that have accreditation, that have the potential to deserve and to serve the community using the highly standard quality of service that any other business is running. Don't ask African people to run low-level service registration just because it costs to run a business. If a business wants to be professional, it will cost. If we want to serve garbage to African community, it's going to cost nothing. And our continent deserves more than that. We need to think and we need to to help people understand the potential of our business, jump into it, join us into that, and better serve the community. I did not want to follow the traditional presentation because I heard something that really hits me, and I don't want something to become just like the rules because we are weak to perform the way that other people are performing. Registrar business exists for more than 10 years from now. Only 6 in Africa, it doesn't mean that this business is not fruitful. It means in Africa, when people want to invest, they did not see many people convincing them to put their money in real business. And it's happening in that one. VeriSign sees somebody, and I'm going to end up with there. There was a famous investor in the U.S., Warren Buffett, and everybody know him for investing in what we call conservative bonds. He invests more than $600 million in VeriSign, and it was a good sign to show to people that this digital economy is not a joke. Warren Buffett used to invest in Coca-Cola and all these other, you know, bonds in the past, but he invests in VeriSign because he knows that things are happening in the digital economy, and Africa will not be outside of that game. All the big registrars are looking at our continent as the next business where they are growing. And if they want to come, they want to use resellers, third, fourth, and fifth level to introduce and to be present here. We want first level services. I'm an African, and I will be proud to show up and say that we will serve the African community at the same standard as the others are doing outside of Africa. That was my message. Thank you very much.
I'm following him. That was excellent. Thank you very, very much. Wow. Are there any questions or any comments that anyone wants to make?
Chairman, I just want to say for people who want to look at the presentation, it's going to be available online. We have more than 50 slides, but I did not think it was important. For people who want to get some insight that we have on the presentation, they're going to find it available on the website. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Any questions?
Yes, question.
Sir, identify yourself, please.
My name is Gregoire Eumi from Benin. I'm back with my old questions. It's about the registrar. How does the registrar check about the legal document? Because now the registrar, all is online. So can we explain us to how do you do it? And I look for the presentation. All the presentation is to present a model. We are there to look for a model to make in our CCTLD. So if we can discuss about one model, I saw the Nigeria success story, Dot Africa, and so on. So if you can discuss about this, it's very good. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, you touch a very important point. Is all about the legal document that people submit. And I think that even the next presentation, I mean, the next session, we'll talk a little bit about it. It's a very difficult situation. I'm going to give you just one example. Many of the African people, when they register a domain name, they did not know that if somebody else write his name as the owner, even if they give you the domain name and you put your website, if he is against you tomorrow, so you can lose everything. And this is the biggest complaint we get every single day as a registrar, is when people register domain name, they didn't do it the way they register land. Did you see somebody asking somebody to register his land for him? No. Because of lack of education, lack of awareness. People, when they buy a domain names, many of corporate or company, they ask their web developers to go and buy the domain name for them. So they sign a contract of just getting a website up and running, and they did not look at the details on what's going on. And when just a disagreement happened between the developer and the owner of the website, this web is canceled, and just the guy, the next year when they want to renew his domain name or want to do anything on it, so he was not able to perform anything. So on the contractual side, for CCTLD, some of them asked to get a written document where the company signed saying that this I am the owner of that, and this individual is just registering the domain name on my behalf. But this raised the point of awareness and all that need to be done in order to help the African users understand the responsibility and where he's going when he tried to buy a domain name of and for which purposes. So it's a huge area, and I don't think that we did perform well on that one.
Thank you very much. One more question. I think I have to cut the line because we do need to continue. Sir?
Pons Lloyd from NPOC. Mohammed, I would like to ask you a question on, as you've been in the business for quite a while, what do you think is the best business model as we're trying to promote the DNS industry in Africa? Thank you.
Well, I think it's a tough question, but we have seen two models in that business. Maybe they have many, but I can just summarize into two models. If you think you can do high volume, you can have a strategy of low margin and try to be competitive. If you have a specific target market where you know that this is like a preferred model market where you have low numbers, I mean, if you really want to cover your costs, you really need to have the model of low numbers and high margin. But here we are in a competitive area where people are competing. GoDaddy is the biggest registrar worldwide. He's competing with any registrars in Africa. And he's trying to get sometimes a pricing advantage that low registrar cannot follow. So this is happening. On the Naira, for example, the .ng, the fact that having a price difference for big registrar to get lower prices, this will increase the gap between the small registrar that want to catch up and the big one, because at the end of the day, the end user going to just look at the cost at the same service. They're just going to look at the cheapest price in order to get the service. So the difference is if you're local, you have so many services that you will provide that the registrars outside of the continent will not perform. Specifically in Africa, where education in IT is very low. This is our real competitive advantage that we have over the big registrars, because on field, we are serving the community in a way that they will not be able to perform. Specifically when it comes to educate people, to help them, to give them more service, to let them understand what's going on. I mean, this local assistance costs us a lot of money, but this is what makes the difference between us and the others. So,
thank you. Thank you again very much. Thank you for that. We're going to move on quickly to the domain name packing and speculation, and Elard Kinsler from Lexynergy will be speaking. Thank you.
Good afternoon. As you said, I'm Milad Kinsler from Lexynergy. Just to tell you what we are, we're an ARCAN accredited registrar. We specialize in domain name management and online brand protection. And we're extremely active in the African domain space, and we try to promote and focus the African TLDs. So, Barak, if you can go to the next. So I just try to summarize what domain name speculation is about. It's the practice of identifying and registering or acquiring, so they can be purchased registered domains already, and either holding them for a passive income or with the intent of selling them later for profit. Usually the domain names are pointed to a website which contains various adverts selected by the registrant with a view to earning on a pay-per-click basis. Domain name speculation can be a legitimate business for the purchaser when registering. But often it's a fine line and when it's not generic, they tend to infringe on registered trademarks. Just one example I put there is in 2008, CNN bought iReport.com for $750,000 from Rick Schwartz. He's a domain name speculator. He registered it in 99, and approximately he spent $250 before he sold it for $750,000. And that's a good example of a generic domain name that he made a very big profit on. As you can see, there's just a list of the known domain name sales, and you'll see that a lot of them are well over $1 million, some even over $10 million, so it is a big business. And I've also, if you just press next, I've just pointed out three ccTLDs that are close to $1 million, if not above, .fr, .de for Germany, co.uk, cruise. So just showing that it's not only limited to gTLDs, it's a big business. ccTLDs, gTLDs, generics are worth a lot of money. And iReport.com is only 93 on that list. Another good example, it's a bit outdated, but if you have a look, it's about the Virginia Tech killings. It's from 2007 where there were murders in the university campus there. Within hours, speculators were registering campuskillings.com and virginiatechmurders.com, hoping to sell it and profit off that. The domain name speculators search, they use many avenues to search. One example I put there is online trademark journals, where they publish applications for trademarks. And a real-life example is our own trademark, which is Our Domain is Domains. We applied to register that in the UK. And within one day, because it looks funny as a domain name, we didn't register it. Within one day, it was registered by a squatter, and we were forced to recover it. So the speculators are online using every avenue they can, searching for valuable domain names, and whether it infringes or not, they'll register it as soon as they can if you don't. Another outlet is online sales sites like eBay. There's an example there for a registrant trying to sell planetbeckham.com. It does happen to be an infringement on Beckham, which is a trademark, but he places it on there and hopes to sell it for a good profit. That's just an idea of what the affiliate links looks like. Where people register their domain names, they go to a site like Cedo. It's a free service. You choose a number of categories. So if it was something like Red Bull there, which is an infringement, but you choose energy drinks, sports, and anything that you think it relates to, and it pre-populates it when someone clicks on it. How it works is on a pay-per-click basis. So as soon as someone by mistake goes there, or someone actually intentionally goes there and clicks on one of the adverts, they get paid. And what we did is we registered some generic domains just to see how it works, and we put it on Cedo. It takes all of, 5 minutes to set it up, and it generates the adverts for you. And what we did was once a month we would click on one of the once a day we would click on one of the adverts. And there's just proof that they paid us €25 after 1 month, and that was just by clicking it once a day. So it's maybe not a lot of money, but if these guys have well over 1,000 domain names, if you do the maths, it's a very big business. Then just thought I'd discuss things like TLD launches and sunrise periods. The domain name speculators take great interest in these launches. Most recently, there was .ng, for example. They opened up .ng. And because you can use it like with the ing, so for example, domaining was registered by one of our clients. I mean, that's a generic term. And the response was unreal. We got so many requests just because of the ng. And the guys are just sitting there monitoring it. .ga, .cf, .ml recently relaunched. And the guys are trying to get the generics because they're not available in .com anymore. It's very difficult to find a valuable domain name, so they look at the new TLDs. And that's where things like .africa, .durban, you know, even .porn, .sex, all those, they'll open up the avenue, and the speculators are just waiting, and they'll get whatever they can. And that's speculation in a nutshell.
Well, thank you very, very, very much, Ilard. Particularly, thank you for taking the time and the courage to present that in front of us. Let's give him a hand for enlightening. All right, thank you. Next, we have another very famous individual, Ni Quenor, and from Ghana.com. Ni, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I appreciate having the opportunity to follow up on some discussions that occurred at our meeting in Addis. Next, please. Okay. Well, I'll share a perspective, and this perspective is based on some of the strategy work that is being done by ICANN Africa, and there's a portion that relates to registrars and what we might consider doing to help reduce the barriers and improve the participation of African registrars. But to do that, we'll take a look at the registrar relationship as we know it now. But because I want to do circumlocution, I tell you what I am asking and then make the arguments and come back. We think having a single contractual agreement for all registries with the registrars is a better way than us signing an agreement with each registry. If there are 1,000 of them, we have to sign 1,000 agreements, and it illustrates the challenge. Similarly, we are asking for ICANN to accredit banks so that the banks hold the monies of the registrars instead of the registries holding the money. Because once again, if you have 1,000 of them, putting money in 1,000 will fragment commitment of registrars to the namespaces. I imagine the same will apply for insurance. We also think that we need to give deep consideration to the level of commitment we want to give to African registrars or African businesses to emerge. We've got some precedents in the numbers registries. When new registries were created, they gained some support by way of resources being transferred to them. And we may want to consider the similar thing, and I'll discuss it as we go. Next, please. This report was first discussed at Africa MIGWorks in Addis Ababa in March, and there is an important observation that has been echoed here by Ray Plisak, who said that we should focus on what Africa needs, what is best for Africa, because it will be in the interest of ICANN, and I think that is true. One conclusion from Addis was that we should bring the banks and insurance companies into ICANN in a truly structured and formal way. And I'm hoping that we'll deepen the discussion around this subject while we are here. Next, please. The relationship between registry and registrar at least has these three elements. There's a technical component, there's a contractual component, and then there's money component. And the new GTLD dramatically increases the scale of this relationship. So perhaps we need a new structure. Next, please. The current structure looks like this, and I've left some of them blanks just for the sake of it. But the relation between the registrar and the registry is a technical bit. You have to go to do EPP or so to get your names in. You have to have money there, and you must have an agreement with them. You can't talk to them until you have an agreement with ICANN, and that's the nature of the structure. So if I have to have an agreement with 1,000, you can imagine. If I have to put money in 1,000, you can imagine. If I have to insurance, and sometimes the insurance is not the same as the ICANN insurance, some of the registries may have different insurance. Next, please. So this is the suggestion. One contract for all GTLDs, variations in price and name string and so on, we should find a different solution. Maybe AFTLD may want to consider the same thing. One contract with AFTLD, then you can register, be a registrar for all the other CCs. This is just extension of the same scaling concept. And if we have banks accredited to hold the monies, I mean, we do save, because sometimes you have money in one registry, no money in the other. And perhaps the same thing may be applicable to AFTLD and the CCTLD community. Insurance companies may also come in to help insure registrars and maybe open the door for some level of assistance to the needy with respect to insurance. Next, please. The assumptions are clearly, I'm going to give the example of a bank just to illustrate, because I think that's most vivid. So a registrar ID is associated with a bank ID. Maybe he signs an agreement with the bank, he's chosen one of the accredited banks, whatever the scheme is, fine. But instead of depositing the money with his registry and splitting his tiny money in small bits, he puts it all in lump at the bank. We need to have a way by which the registry and the bank will communicate to find out the balance, committed amount, and so on. But I think that's something within our realm, and we do a very good job at that. And now it becomes the registry that is paying the bank. I mean, paying the bank is the one who pays the registry instead of, you know, the registrar paying the registry. Next, please. So we are talking of something like this. A bank is associated with a registrar. When a registrar tries to register in the registry talks to the appropriate bank. If he gets the right response, he proceeds. If not, he drops. That way, all the registries are sharing my 10,000, because that's probably the scale we have, instead of me splitting 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. And I think that makes a much more scalable and more efficient way to manage this new growth. Next, please. So the argument for the African case in particular, we are latecomers. Yes, we want to run fast. We are few, and to an extent, relatively small compared to the big registrars, international registrars. Besides, you need a minimum number of registrants to be sustainable. And perhaps the African registrars and the new ones that we are promoting to come will face this, you know, major barrier. So perhaps registrars need to be helped to go beyond that minimum threshold so that the business will be vibrant and strong and so on. As I mentioned, RIRs have done this with respect to LACNIC and AFRINIC, and that good precedence should probably be adopted. Next, please. So it says global registrars should consider transferring some African registrants to African registrars. And we can discuss and figure out the details. Is it opt-in? Is it this? Whatever the scheme, is it what, do an exam, choose the ones you want. Whatever the scheme, I think as a community, we ought to take a good look at it. And also, we have to avoid the registrars beginning to choose what names they want to sell in a way to kind of bias the internet from being uniform for more people to have names and build the industry. We should also be aware that some of these registries that are coming are not accessible to registrars, and I have no idea the implication on the business for that will be. Next, please. So in conclusion, this is really work in progress, and we want to have wider discussion on this subject and figure out what elements are low-hanging enough with sufficient consensus so that we can move forward. Perhaps it will be with the banking side, but it may also be with the contracts. What we would like to do, in short, is simplify the contractual relationship we have to have with registries and also the financial requirements of having money before you can register names. Removal of these constraints, we believe, will help all registrars, and in fact, even more, the emerging internet registrars. With that said, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nee, for that piece. That's a very pragmatic and interesting model that you have there. I hope we can all look into it. At this point, I would like to open up the floor for any questions for either me, Elard, or any of the other panelists here. So with that, and please identify yourself when you come to the mic.
Hi, I'm Chris Chimanga from .cd. I just want to ask a question to Elard. I'm not sure if it was a typo error of the figure that you gave there. However, if not, then I just want to find out, how do you come to know your client will be able to pay you that amount? I do not want to face a client who, well, instead of selling him, let's say, $30 for the domain, but actually, in fact, that client may be able to pay $1 million for that domain. So how do you discuss, or how do you approach, or what is your means of ensuring that you get the best price and the cost for that domain? Thanks.
Chris, those are actually purchases for domains that were already registered. They purchased it at a normal price from a registrar, and those are negotiations. Usually it's big companies who are buying it. And if it's not big companies, there's services. For example, we offer an escrow service, escrow.com. They're a huge service, and they facilitate such a transaction. So if you say you're going to sell music.cd, someone wants to pay $500,000, whatever it is, you just open an account with escrow.com or with us or with anyone online. And they take, I think it depends on the amount, but they take 0.5%, let's say, for an amount like that. And the money would go into a trust account, per se. Then the domain name is transferred, you confirm it, and escrow then release the payment. And that's probably the safest way to do a transaction like that, because the money is held until you have confirmed that the domain is now in your control. And once you're the registrant, then you are the legal owner. So I hope that answers your question. But there wasn't a typo. Those figures were correct.
Next.
Sunday from the Nigerian CCTLD. Two questions. One for Alhaji Diop. If I heard very well in your presentation, you made a comment like Africans don't trust the rest of the world. Is it much more that, or that the rest of the world does not trust Africans, especially if you look at e-commerce? It's very, very easy for you to go to that GoDaddy, for example, register a domain. GoDaddy take your money and give you the domain, but try to then shop with the same card you have used in registering the domain, which is just maybe $8 or $5, try to then shop for something on Amazon for like $200, $300, then you hear that the same card is being used from a high-risk region, therefore the transaction is declined. That may also be a very big disincentive to Africans trying to do business. If you would please comment on that. The second comment is to Dr. Kweno. I think I like the idea of trying to say that businesses coming out of Africa, especially domain name registrations, should be transacted with African registrars. That obviously would give them leverage and the ability to grow their business within the locality that trusts them very much. So I totally support your idea there. Thank you.
Sunday, I think that you already have the answer in the part of your question, but let's elaborate a little bit. I did not say that Africans did not trust other part of the world. What I'm saying is, we bring to our African users many technologies. Okay, some of them were very easy to adopt. Look at the mobile phone. I mean, nobody asked the question. It's easy. There is not big threat. easy to use, even for illiterate people. So I don't think it's a question of if the technology people want to use it or not. But if you take the internet, if you look at for domain name business, they have so many rights that implies that we did not give the right answer to the users that make the things more tricky. And when a company contract with somebody saying that I want a website, and he did not know that he need a domain name first, he needs somebody to develop the website, but he need another company to host his domain name. And then for the maintenance, we know what's going on. In fact, usually they sign with one person, and after when it comes a problem with that person, I mean, all the chain of trust break, and that's really what's happening in the African market. And many entrepreneurs or big company or family company, when you ask them why you don't have a website, they say, you know, man, if I put all my business in a computer and the computer crash, can you give me a solution? And I say, no, I don't have a solution. He said, I want to stick manual. So I can write my accounting system. It works, and I don't need to have that problem. So if we show them a level of trust, a level of continuity, that these things will not happen, and if he put his business on a website, there will be a continuity of service, so we increase the level of trust that people are looking for. And this is what is missing, and that's why I ask for all people who work in the domain name business in Africa, that our first challenge is to increase the trust that people need in order to come and buy a domain name and follow us in this digital economy. Sunday, I don't know if I answer your question, but Elijah can complete the other part of the question.
Just like to thank you for supporting the idea of making more use of African registrars in the process of developing the domain name market in Africa. And we need to explore the most comfortable avenues that will make this come to fruition. Thank you.
Sure, go.
Ali Haji de Comores, je vais parler en français. J'ai juste deux questions et puis un commentaire. Nous savons tous qu'actuellement en Afrique, les registrats ne sont pas développés. On a moins de registrats par rapport aux autres pays ou bien par rapport aux autres continents. Mais moi, je pense que aujourd'hui, si nous faisons une réflexion avancée sur cette question, il faudrait que registrar et registrie partent ensemble. Parce que je me dis que si il y a ce problème en Afrique, c'est parce que aussi les registries en fait ne sont pas développées. Donc après-demain, nous allons commencer justement les réunions ou bien le 47e meeting justement d'ICANN. J'aurais souhaité que nous ayons quelque chose de concret que nous allons présenter, que nous allons leur montrer comment faire en sorte que justement que nos registrats se développent davantage. Mais il faut toujours commencer par les registries, c'est-à-dire les CCTLD, etc. Donc, je voulais poser une question à Monsieur Diop, Mohamed Diop. Au Comores, actuellement, le point KM n'est pas ouvert. Nous n'avons pas de registrats. Et nous sommes le registre justement du point KM, c'est-à-dire Comores Telecom. Et ce que j'aurais souhaité est savoir quels sont, en tant que registrar, quels sont les conflits ou bien quels sont les problèmes auxquels vous êtes souvent confrontés avec le registre. Avant de venir ici, j'ai une société qui m'avait posé une question et ça tombe bien parce que je pense qu'Ella Kinsler a parlé, mais je ne pense pas avoir bien compris la procédure. J'ai une société qui m'a dit qu'elle a reçu un message comme quoi son nom a fait l'objet d'une demande chez un registrat quelconque. Par exemple, ali.km au Comores. Il y a ali.sn. Cette demande a été déposée chez un registrat quelconque. Donc, il me demande comment faire. Donc, je viens d'arriver. Donc là, j'ai trouvé juste cette question. Mais je n'ai pas bien compris la procédure. Est-ce que c'est normal, on la laisse? On laisse cette nouvelle société, justement, acquérir le .ali.sn, par exemple? Ou bien il y a une procédure à suivre pour l'empêcher? Merci.
OK. Merci pour le comment. Je vais commencer par la dernière question. En fait, ça pose le problème qu'on appelle de protection des marques et de protection des noms de domaine. Ça, c'est une question liée à la propriété intellectuelle. Vous savez qu'en Afrique, par exemple, nous avons l'OAPI, l'Office africain de la propriété intellectuelle, qui a un bureau dans tous les pays qui sont membres de l'OAPI. Et l'OAPI est membre de l'OMPI, qui est l'Organisation mondiale de la propriété intellectuelle. Quand vous avez un nom de domaine que vous voulez protéger, vous allez déposer ça au niveau de l'OAPI, qui a un bureau chez nous. Ce nom-là est enregistré après à Libreville, qui recense, par exemple, le bureau de l'OAPI est à Libreville, je pense, et là, ils enregistrent ce que vous voulez protéger comme nom. Donc, il y a toute une culture de la protection des noms et des marques où l'Afrique est souvent très, très absent. On n'est pas là. Donc, on voit quand même que c'est un débat qui... Pourquoi on se retrouve avec 1930 nouveaux GTLD? C'est parce que la grande partie des grosses structures internationales essaient de protéger leur nom et leur marque et sont allées au niveau de la racine même du système de DNS pour protéger en fait leur nom et être sûr que personne ne va pouvoir utiliser ce nom-là. Donc c'est une dynamique qu'il faut encourager et que les CCTLD en relation avec les registrars doivent aider l'utilisateur final, qui est l'entreprise, qui est l'individu, à se dire, si je veux protéger mon œuvre, si je veux protéger mon nom, si je veux protéger des noms culturels ou trucs, comment je peux faire pour y arriver? Je pense que c'est un travail que nous ne serons pas seuls à faire. Il y a l'organisation de la propriété intellectuelle dans nos différents pays qui essaie de faire la promotion des brevets, des inventions et tout, et qui devront avoir un rôle à jouer dans ce que nous sommes en train de faire. Donc nous ne pouvons pas travailler en autarcie. Ce que nous faisons là a un impact sur la communauté réelle et il faudrait que nous puissions adresser ces grandes problématiques liées à la propriété intellectuelle. Mais s'ils protègent ce nom de domaine au niveau de l'OAPI, les CCTLD devront pouvoir avoir l'information que ce nom-là est protégé et ne pas l'enregistrer pour une entreprise lambda. Maintenant, sur l'histoire des gros problèmes, je pense que ça, vous avez... quand un utilisateur veut un nom de domaine, nous, le premier problème auquel nous sommes confrontés, c'est la lenteur dans la réponse à nos requêtes. Un registrar, quand il fait une requête à un nom de domaine d'un pays africain, des fois ça peut prendre une semaine, des fois deux semaines, des fois plusieurs semaines. Et ça, c'est le plus gros problème, c'est que nous ne pouvons pas juger le temps minimum ou le temps maximum que nous pouvons mettre pour donner une réponse à un client qui demande un nom de domaine en Afrique. Donc ça montre que les services d'enrichissement de noms de domaine ne sont pas toujours aussi professionnels que nous souhaitons l'avoir. Et je pense que le président de AFTLD l'a soulevé tout à l'heure, Paulos, quand il disait que les CCTLD en Afrique sont faibles, c'est vrai, beaucoup sont faibles, d'autres sont très, très bien portants, et ils cherchent tous à avoir des modèles, des business models qui leur permettent de survivre, d'avoir un modèle... normal, donc ça veut dire répondre aux heures de travail, être capable d'ouvrir de 8h à 18h, avoir une hotline qui est là, qui permet de répondre à des problématiques clients. Ça, c'est des choses qu'on ne voit pas encore se généraliser. Et pour qu'on puisse avoir des services de qualité, il faut qu'on puisse être dans ces standards-là. Voilà.
Just a note, I'm going to cut the line with the two people there.
Uli Retzlaff, Public Interest Registry. I'll be quick. I have a question for Mr. Caesar and Mr. Diop. So I come from Germany. We had .de long before Facebook and social media existed. People use .de, our local top-level domain name, because they expect German content. I think that's the main reason why they use that. as Africa is getting the internet, that's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, please, is using the internet mainly via the mobile phone. How do you view the threat of social media and those so-called walled gardens in relation to the lack of African content online? That's what I... Do you think, you know, unless there's real African content to use for people here, they won't buy domain names or are incentivized to create their own websites? That was the question. As a question of transparency, I'd like to add that PIR sponsored an event with Mr. Diop in Senegal. It was called the African Content Initiative. Thank you.
I think that the reason why Africans don't buy domain names, it's just because they don't know. I mean, they don't know. They don't have too much information about domain names. So those with money to buy domain names need education. We need to educate them. So they are not going to start buying domain names because there is an African content there. But I think that we, as registrars working with registries, we need to embark on a program of educating the business decision leaders in our countries so that we create awareness of domain names. We make them understand why they need to register a domain name, at least to protect even the trademark name. As a free register in our own countries, we, you know, we've been approaching few companies, but then they still yet don't understand why they need that. So I think the big challenge is just the education.
I think that to be really, African people buy domain names, but not domain names. What they buy is they buy services that we professional have divided into different professional categories. What a company buy is an internet presence. He buy a solution to market their product. They buy a solution to get their club. If it's a sports club, they want to get their club being online, sharing their pictures, their emotions, their photos. So they don't know what domain names means. It's just like we want to, if you want to eat chebujan in our country, it's a local food. You don't come and say that I want to buy rice, I want to buy vegetable, I want to buy this. You say, I want to buy a meal. And this meal is what African people are looking at. And we, technical people, we bring confusion to them by creating these different categories. But at the end of the day, when you ask an African people, what is your website, he give you his email. Many of us have experienced that. Do you have a website? Yes. What is your website? Mohammed.job@yahoo.com. Because this guy, he see the internet as a global thing where he just need an address. And for him, everything you're looking at concerning me or others, you have to go and look at these things. So what I'm saying is technology can move, services can be more complex, social media are here to complement things, but the traditional way of getting your professional emails, your website, and sharing things, if you're corporate or if you're a group or if you're a network of organization, is still there. And I don't think that we passed over that challenges. We did not address it correctly. I remember two experiences that we have done in our country, one for the musicians, the other one for the African Content Initiatives. The response were there. These people did not have a local offer that is explicit to them. Some people come and talk to them about domain names, but they don't care about domain names. They care about the internet that brings them solutions in terms of entertainment, presence, e-commerce, doing business. But how you make it, that's not their problem. We drive cars. We don't need to know mechanics. We just want to drive the car getting from here, Durban, to Cape Town. We don't need to know how these engines have been made. And this is exactly why African people want a trusty service. Packing staff, trusty, well-performing, and that's really what they are looking for.
Last question.
Thank you. My question is actually related to just this topic. On a trend that we are seeing for some of the CCTLDs in Africa, including my own Malawi, what we are seeing is that when a client is buying a domain name, they usually have a content provider going with it. And when they buy the domain name, they come to register it at the CCTLD, and the next thing that you see is that the name servers that are chosen are somewhere in the US, and those name servers are sitting on a virtual host or a virtual server, and that's where they configure their services, their domain name name servers, and their content services. So it's doing two things after we have sold them the domain name. It is sending the content that has been generated within the country abroad. And the content includes the name servers, as well as the website, the email services. And very often I have to say, look, you are a big Malawian organization. What you are doing is export content for free. So I maybe just wanted to get some comment on this. This is related to what happens beyond the process after we have sought the domain name. And for us, we would like to find a solution to this, because really, the content is flying out for free.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll comment on only a part of your problem. As usual, he makes it difficult to get a full handle on it. But, okay, in Ghana, what the government has decided is that no.gov.gh name can be hosted outside. And this is a result of reaction to some defacement of websites that were being hosted outside. And the message was that if it's not hosted within the data centers of government, it's impossible to expect government to protect it. And so at least for that collection of names, there is a clear policy of trying to host it in one of the data centers of government or perhaps of national security. Now, I can't say more than that bit because everybody else takes the names and take it out. What we also do is that we insist that one of the two must be in Ghana. And that's only a legal protection in case the name is abused. Then at least if I'm dragged, I have somebody to go along with. So.
Gideon, you earlier you wanted to respond to one of the questions, please.
I just wanted to add something about the content. I think most of the reason why, you know, think we don't generate a lot of content is well, governments have started putting some of the information online, the open government and such, but the problem is in the attractiveness of the content. You see, people would consume the content when it's well packaged and if it relates directly to them. So, and then people also want to look at the cost. You know, sometime you find maybe Microsoft have come to Africa, they've gone to a certain village and they want to maybe do a video of a certain cultural event. So these people would not do it because they don't have the money. But I think introducing the evolution of content from the level of, I look at it from the universities, if it's done from that level, maybe we can have, by the time these people get out of campus, they'll be able to maybe understand and help to create content that can be consumed and that these users can feel as if it belongs to them, because really the feeling of belonging to that content is what people want. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, I would like to have us all give a hand to this very distinguished and experienced panel. Thank you very much. I know this went over. I think we have a coffee break at this point. I'm looking to see if there's any. We do have a coffee break. Let's try to make it as short as possible. If it's possible, come back here in 15 minutes so we can start. We actually have the next presenter, I think, which is going to be a video presenter, waiting online. So thank you very much.